John chapter 1, please. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I want to start by reading verse 1. John chapter 1, thank you. John chapter 1 and verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the question I'd like to ask is, what takes your time? What occupies your time? What have you freely given your time to? Because whatever your focus is, that will become your focus. Whatever you willingly give your time to, that's what you're going to become. Yeah. If you've reached that stage where you know, because if you keep reading down in that same John chapter 1, it says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So that means the inception of everything you need, want, or desire is God's word. It's God's word. So the question now is, how much time have you willingly given to God's word? Because at the end of the day, the same word was with God, and that word is now God. So, in other words, you can say, in the beginning was Mr. O was with God's word, and Mr. O now is. But it is what you give your attention to that matters. And I know I live in the same world as you. I know there are 1,001 things that are trying to grab our attention. But it is now, because I don't think it has to be an act of honor. Yes, I'm busy. Yes, I'm pulled here and there. But nothing, I will not allow anything to take my attention, to take away the time for me to spend quality time with God's word. I will not let that happen. And thank God for technology. You can use technology to your own benefit. Yeah, most of us have. Can I say that most of us have televisions in our kitchen? What is on the television when you are cooking? That's a very good question. But yeah, you can use technology to your advantage. So what are you doing with your time? What holds your attention? All right. Okay. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I have used this, I think I've used it a couple of times, because I love that verse in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus is introducing himself to John on the island of Patmos as John was about to receive the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is the one speaking. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." I love that. He said, "I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I'm the end. I am the Almighty." Jesus should know, because when he came to do what he did for us, he is the word that became flesh. So he started with the word, he stayed on the word, and he ended with the word. What was Jesus' last word on the cross? Jesus' last word on the cross. It is, yes. Do you know where that is written in the Bible? It's in the Bible. You know? I'll give you it's a long psalm. It's not as long as Psalm, what's the longest psalm? 119. But it is long, but not as long as 119. Psalm 22. Now, some Bible, I think King James omits it, but other Bibles has it that it is finished. So Jesus started with the word, he stayed with the word, and he ended with the word. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me, but not my will be done, let yours be done. He stayed on the word. He was, because you have to appreciate, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the first time in his existence that he was without the Father. He saw that coming. And he, if he had his way, but he did not deviate. He stayed with the word. So he started with the word. He started with the word. He stayed on course and he ended with the word. And that's how we ought to live as well. That's how we ought to live as well. Because the truth is, your victory is in God's word. Your victory is in God's word. But how many of us are enjoying the victory that is yours? How many of us are enjoying it? How many of us are enjoying it? To be slightly... should I? When it should come the case, pastor will be very cautious on a Sunday to say anybody with testimony, because everybody throughout the week has, you know, one victory after the other. So my pastor say, or maybe it gets to the point that pastor have to, okay, who before the service you would have found, okay, you three are the ones that are going to give. Because if you open to everybody come out and say, yes, I've enjoyed. But the truth is, your victory is in God's word. Now, the thing is, you start out in faith. Yeah, you start out in faith. You're believing God for something. You started outright. You start out in faith. At what point will your faith be short-circuited? Because that's the thing. Because God's word is very exciting. It's very exciting. Yeah, I'm believing God for this. You start believing God. But at what point is that faith short-circuited? It's when that faith bumps into fear. When it bumps into fear. And fear is fear is simply something you can see, something you can feel that has convinced you it's not going to work. That's it. Because the devil, we read it in Colossians chapter 2, yeah, having disarmed all principles and power, Jesus left him zero. Zero, as in zero. Left him powerless. And the devil knows it. He knows the believer, or let's put it this way, was he powerful enough to stop you from giving your life to Christ? So he's powerful, isn't he? Could he? The moment your eyes were open to what God did at Calvary and you were about to say, yes, I'm giving my life to you, was he able to stop you? No, he couldn't. Because that was the time when the seed of God's word was about to be planted in your heart. He could not stop it because he has no response to God's word. He has no comeback to God's word. But he will still try. He will make things appear as though they are real. He'll throw things your way, hoping that you yourself will say, this thing's not working. Yeah. And that's it. Your faith will keep working until it bumps into fear. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, doesn't doubt where. Doesn't doubt where? In his heart. But doubt happens in the head. Fair enough. It happens in the head, you know. Thoughts come. But the moment you take that thought and you say it, you've received it, you've taken it, is now. So that has now short-circuited your faith. There's nothing you can, until you go back to where you started and then continue from there. Now let's see how we can get to that position of victory. Because fear is not, I'm afraid. No. Fear is, this thing I'm feeling, that is what Brother so-and-so felt. And then before you knew it, he died. Oh, let me go and see a GP. That's it. The moment your experience is more real than what is written, you have allowed fear in. You might as well just go and see a GP straight. Don't fool yourself. Quickly find a good GP and go and see them. Because you yourself have accepted that what you are feeling has negated by his stripes. I was healed. So wisdom, just go and say GP and pray for that GP, pray for God's wisdom on that GP so that when you go and see him, or when you go and see her, they'll do the right thing. Let's go to First John, because see, the thing is we need to get to the root cause and get rid of it. And God's word provides us the answer to do it. So First John, I want to start First John chapter 4 and verse 18. Yeah. Are we there? Because you need to see this. This is awesome. Yeah. First John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. There is no what? Where love is, fear is absent. There is no fear in love, but perfect love does what? Casts it out. Casts out fear. Huh. So that means what I need, or what we need, is perfect love, isn't it? Because if there's no fear in love and perfect love casts fear out, I need perfect love. First John chapter 2 answers that for us. First John chapter 2. Verse 5. First John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever, it doesn't say the pastor, the woman of God, the evangelist, no. Whoever, that means whoever means me, isn't it? Whoever means you. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is what? Perfected in him. There you go. That's fair gone. Huh? So that brings us back to God's word. Whoever keeps his word. How can you keep his word if you don't have his word? How can you have his word if you have not carried with his word? There are some things that are written that, really, by his stripes I'm healed. Okay, that's for the evangelist. That's for the man of God. Or that is for the prophet. Me, I'm going to be very wise. I will go and see my GP. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, please. There's nothing wrong with that. But for you to keep, you have to have. For you to have, this has to be real to you. This has to be the beginning and the end. This has to be your all. Yes, people will call you fanatic. And you're in your office, you have 20 minutes spare. Instead of flicking through Instagram. And I'm sure all of us have Bible on our phone. Go to the word. What are you? They come, what are you doing? Oh, God. Bible? They don't know what you are doing. Yeah, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Because at the end of the day, Jesus gave us four different grounds. Three failed. One passed. Question is why? How? How did that one pass? How did that one produce? Because we want our faith to work. We want to be able to say yes. Yeah, I'm earning 2,200 after tax. I'm paying mortgage of 800, but I'm speaking to this mortgage in 2 years. You're paid off. Yeah, you better be wise. But it says, he's the Lord your shepherd, you shall not. What? You take that in, it becomes a part of you. You meditate on it. And then, I'll do that. I think it's in Matthew. Yes, Matthew chapter 13. This is Jesus talking, giving us an illustration of how to walk God's word. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to go straight to where I want. Well, okay, I'll start from verse. Okay, now it's becoming too small. Verse 15. Okay, yeah. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. So the reason why, because I said you can't have until this has been a part of you. Now the reason why you are spending time with God's word is so that you can get to that point where it says, lest you understand with your heart and turn. That turning simply means God will give you the exact words to say. You know, you study life of Jesus. He didn't mix his words. He said, no man eat fruit of you from now on. Simple. That fruit was dead. Peace be still. He didn't say, why is it? No. He spoke those words. And God wants you to live like that. So the reason why you are spending time with God's word, so that it can be a part of you, so that you get to that point where in your heart you understand. God opens the eye. We prayed up. Did we pray today? Sheds light. You see. And then you have the right words to say. That's one reason. So you spending time with God's word, not taking thoughts based on what you can see, feel, taste. I'm not saying ignore all of that. I'm just saying you've lived on your five physical senses for long enough. There's another one called the sixth sense of faith. Start developing it. To develop it, you are spending time with God's word. You get to that point, he now gives you the exact words to say, and you say it, and you make up your mind, I am not shifting. I'm not moving. I am not moving. Praise God. Praise God. But, and then we all experience it. We all go through it. Yeah, you maybe, for example, now maybe today something sparks up in you. You know, I believe, I'm going to do something about this thing. And then maybe 4 or 5 days from today, he just throws one silly thought, or just shows you. He just makes something that is not something that's irrelevant, but because of the way we are made up, it's big, or we allow it, we make it bigger than it's meant to be, and then by ourselves, on our own, as you know, maybe it's not time, or some of us still do this, which is not right. Or maybe I should pray and fast more, or maybe let me book an appointment with pastor. Let pastor pray for me so my faith can grow. No. Before Jesus said, whosoever say, he said, have faith in God. Other translations read it, have the God kind of faith. The faith in you is the same. Is the same faith in God. The faith God used to say, light be. And there was light is the same as in you. The difference? His is highly developed. Ours, we need to work on it. And this is how you work on it. You spend time with it. You spend time with it. Oh, yes, the pain is increasing. Go and see GP. Now, I have to be very cautious here. By all means, seek professional help, professional advice. Okay? Whilst you are seeking it, because there's nothing wrong with going to the booking an appointment with GP, and before you go and see that GP, or before they because right now, because of COVID, you call and then they'll call you. Okay, at my GP, we call and they would give us an appointment. Sometimes it's the same day, sometimes the next day that they call us back. In between them receiving your call and then them calling you, still do God's word. Because the thing is, you want to get to that point where nothing matters but what he has said. Because at the end of the day, that is where your victory is. And you are keeping his word. You have his word. You are spending time with his word. You are spending time. I have meditated on Isaiah 53 verse 5. Sometimes when people say, "How are you?" I go, "Praise God, healed." Sometimes in school, to my fellow teachers, and they look at me, crazy. But that is where you want to get to. And then sometimes that might be the day that I'm not supposed to be in school, because the way my body is feeling, I should have just stayed at home. But I'm working on something. I'm not going to say, okay, because I'm feeling, I now confess and say, no. But that's where you want to get to. That is where you want to get to. He is not a man that he should lie. That's one thing we need to settle. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. And then for me to distinguish between whose voice I'm hearing, God is not forceful. God is not, "Oh, you're going to die. If you don't want to check that pain in your body, are you sure it's not air? Foolish that we now be listing all kinds of ailments." But God, would God ever talk to you like that? No. So what do you do? What do you do when he starts sending you all those thoughts? You speak out. Say, "That's not my thought. My thought is, by his stripes, I am healed." Yeah? By his stripes, I'm healed. Or what's it called? He's the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, yes, mathematically, financially, my income cannot take us to the end of the month, but everything will be all right. To the point that, when was it? Okay, today is the 17th. Because it got to a point in my work life that I forgot payday. I only remember payday to do what pastor says, to tithe. That's when I remember, they paid me 2 days ago. But thankfully, those days, nothing would have gone out, because most direct debits is the first or the second of the following month. But now Mr. O is calculating. Now I know it's Monday, and I'm praying, "Oh God, let them pay me on. Let them pay me on Friday, because I know it's going to be late Sunday night." And then last week, Saturday, Mr. O could not sleep because I was, that's just first week, oh. Salary had disappeared. I'm now looking at 3 more weeks left, and then Easter is coming. My wife is putting pressure on me, "Take these children out." She wants John to start doing go-karting. I saw the price for one session go-karting. I said, "What am I?" So I couldn't. I said, I had to stop myself. I said, "Hey, he is up. He has taken care of me. What would me worrying? How would that bring the money?" I just turned. I went to where I know I can shout and nobody can hear me. Shouted. I just kept telling myself, "Everything will be all right." If my wife had heard me and I went to the bedroom smiling, I said, "Okay, how is everything going to be all right?" "I don't know. He knows. I'm going to sleep." And that's what I did. I just slept. He tried it Sunday night. "No, everything will be all right. We're going to get..." This foolish man. "We're going to get petrol for tomorrow." I said, "Everything will be all right." I went to school that whole last week. I came here. There's still a full tank in that car. How it happened? I just said, "Everything will be all right." And I keep encouraging myself, what I'm going through is my testimony. As long as I do not allow him to let me go and find another job. I have extra hours in the day. I might just give up those hours and get paid some more at this age. It's going to be my testimony. My testimony. Because in all of this, I have not, because the temptation was high to keep the tithe. Things are slightly challenging for you now, Mr. O. Be financially wise. Because that, as if that 10% I am giving to him will make a difference. No, that tithe, it's his. And it still goes to him. Eventually, I will have a testimony. Now, yes, we dipped really, really low. Really low. But in all, we held on to him. You see, once you have found his word, it doesn't matter how long. It's not how long. It's the fact that he's not a man that he will lie. He will come through. So it's not how long it takes for my finances to turn around. That matter. Oh, God, do it. No. I am holding on to what you have said. And I'm not budging. Eventually, he will come through. He will come through. Yeah. And yes, let him, because at the end of the day, game is over if you yourself now say, I could have done it. I've been trusting this God. I've been giving tithe things. How can I, after such a long time, and I'll be going through, this tithe, let me keep it and plan it. Let me use it. I could have. I said no. If I tried that, that's it. because he brought up this situation. You're now nose diving. You let God's word down. That's it. it's down all the way. But you just have to realize he cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. If he has said it, he's going to do it. How he's going to do it. And then there's no point saying, oh God, how are you going to do it? No, that's a bit rude. He said he's going to do it. Let him do it how best he deems fit to do it. Your job is to hold on. Your job is to spend time with God's word. Because at the end of the day, the answer you can give the devil that will shut him up is what is written. You try and combat the devil in the mental realm. Forget it. Or maybe forget it. He would, he has 6,000 years experience. He created what is called iniquity. That is his realm. But you switch over to the spirit, you spend time with the one I like most. Just start praying in tongues. Yes, you don't know what you're saying. He neither knows what you're saying. But God knows exactly what you're saying. Yeah? Okay. You've brought all of this. Okay, let's try it. Switch to the spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't understand, but God does. Yeah. And that's it. But your victory is in God's word. It's down to what you do with God's word. Let him do what he wants to do. Let him say what he wants to do. Let him bring whatever circumstance he wants to bring your way. Is there lack in heaven? Lack in heaven? Is heaven looking to the Bank of China to borrow money? Because their reserves is depleting. Yeah? No. God gave me a word. God, and then these things, God is so good. And that's it. He gave me this beautiful illustration. I've just remembered it now. Why didn't I remember it on last week, Saturday? One day I was during the days when our lovely lecturers were on strike. I was at home. I was outside and I saw ants. They just carried, I think maybe a grasshopper had died, so they were not carrying it. And God now spoke to me. When you start seeing ants dying of starvation, then you can start warning. He takes care of the ants. He takes care of ants. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of. So I want you to take care of me. I am. And then Jesus said, Are you not of more value? Of course I am. He will take care of me. The thing is, we haven't dealt conclusively with fear. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm afraid. No. Because if what you are seeing can be more real than what he has said, or you don't know what he has said, that's why. And then, whatever it is you are going through, whatever it is you need him to do for you, don't just start praying. What are you praying? Hey, oh God, no. Praying is not, you don't need to pray. Go here and find what he has said about that situation first. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It does not matter how long it takes. Find what he has said. Because if you do not know what God has said, you are going to ultimately fail. Because when you get to that point where the devil paints that picture, you know it's false, but you have nothing to counter it, you will. And that's the only time I permit myself to be this pessimistic, that you will ultimately fail because you don't have the answer yet. And once you found the answer, once you found his promise, once you found what he has said concerning what you're going through, stay there. It's not time to pray yet. Stay there. Meditate. Put it on your fridge. Put it where you can see. Meditate on it until you either can go and say, God, you said, and then ask him what you want. Thank you, because you said, I thank you, it is mine. Or, as I said before, you spend time on God's word, God will give you the words to say. And then you say it. And then you say, and because, and then of course, he's allowed to do it. He can see the swords coming out of your spirit that would finish him. He will still try. He'll bring a picture. Let's see. Okay, 2 years ago she believed it. She let go of God's word. Let's try again. He will try it. But by then, because not only have you found out what God has said, you've spent time with what God has said. It's not part of you. You're not bragging anymore. You know what you're saying, and you can see, okay, this is just false evidence appearing real. Fear. And as you know, you're wasting your time. Take it and go. Find somebody else to go and bother. You go and find somebody else. It's too late. I've gone past the people that you can just bring one, whatever, and then try and, you know, dislodge me. No. I found what you're saying. Me and him, we are in agreement. We are locked in. There's nothing that can change that. So find somebody else to go and bother. Hallelujah. But your victory is in God's word. And then, what's it called? Spoiler alert. Confessing God's word. I didn't say go and confess it to people. You know, you found out God's word, you now be using people as your sound until you be confessing. No. Try it. Or before you try it, go and study the life of Joseph. God gave him a dream. Did God send him to tell his brothers? Did he? Keep it. But then that's the thing. Especially once you found God's word concerning you, it's exciting. You are going to, and it does overspill, but your spirit is subject to you. Don't go and because that's going to be anything like, it's easier said than done. What are you doing? They are not meant to be your soundboard. Don't use them as soundboard. Let it be, as you said, let it be inside your closet, you and God. Yeah. Yes, sometimes, and that's how alive God's word is. It's part of you. It will come out. When it comes out like that, that's okay. But you intentionally are going to another brother to say, hey, God told me this, God told me that. No. Nobody sent you to do that one. That is for you. That's for you. And then, finally, in James chapter 3, it's a very small phrase. You know, I've read James, especially in James chapter 3, over and over and again about the tongue. Until one day I read it and God said, stop. And I had to go back and I now saw it. Let me go straight to it. First of all, if I start from verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Your tongue would keep your body in check. Let me show you how. Verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. What is a bit? See, that I had my breakthrough came when I went to check what a bit is. That thing they put in on the tongue of a horse. They apply pressure to the left, the horse turns left. They apply pressure on the right, right. You keep pressure, balance, the horse goes straight. Blindfolded, though. Blindfolded. That small thing on the tongue is what controls that horse. And God said, you want to live in victory? What are you saying? Until you have disciplined yourself to say the right things, you're not yet ready for God's victory. Until, and then when you go down, you it looks like it's a gone case for the tongue. James, why are you talking like this about the tongue now? But that small phrase in verse 3 did it for me. You want to experience the God kind of victory. Apply pressure on your tongue to say the right things. And where do you get the right things to say? Where do you get the right things to say? God's word. God's word. So you've gone out to keep. You want to keep because that's how you cast fear out. You want to keep. You found it. You now have it. You've owned it. You've spent time. It's now time to start speaking right based on God's word. We create with the words we speak, but we speak every single day. Look at what you said. If we can't, but imagine every single thing you said yesterday. Is that what you wanted today? As a matter of fact, or let's put it this way. Your life today is as a result of what you said yesterday. That's it. God is punishing me. No. Your experience today, you created it yesterday. So until the same way we, and you know that, who was I speaking to? I think it was my wife. My wife said, why did they put those signs on the motorway about reindeer? I say, if car jammed reindeer, that car might be in trouble. And then so I now told her, do you know, if a horse runs and a car go, the horse will stand up, but that car might be written off because a horse is 2 ton. That's how some horses are 2 tons. But that small bit we can control. We can just by putting pressure on the tongue of the horse. The horse knows what to do. And that was it for me. You are the one that has to do it. God has done everything he's going to do for you. It's not down to you. It's discipline. You have to. Pressure. And then there's no such thing. Oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, you're tickling me to death. Or I'm afraid. I'm running. Why you have? Just say I'm running late. I'm afraid. We don't have that much intertwined. Apart from I'm afraid I'm running late because the British like to say that a lot. I'm afraid I'm running. I'm afraid he won't be coming back. But you don't need to say that. He's not coming. Or I'll be there. Or when you're making that call, no, let them know when you're going to get. I'll be there in 30 minutes. No, I'm afraid I'm running late. It seems foolish. How can that small thing? It's called discipline. You can't. And when you read James, when you continue reading, from the same spring, can you have fresh water and salt water? It's not possible. So it's either you are sticking to words of faith, based on God's word, or speak anyhow. But for you to be able to control yourself and walk in the victory that God has, he has already prepared it for you. When you start out in faith, that's not when he now prepares it. It's already prepared. It's already ready. He's just waiting on us to say the right thing. First of all, spend time with him and say the right thing. He's waiting for us in prayer to use his word. We're not using against him. To use his word. But Father, you said, and then you quote it, and then you make a request, and say, I thank you, Lord. And then you go. Jesus said, towards the end in Mark 11, he said, what's it called? Okay, whosoever should say this matter, be that removed and be that cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in heart, but believe in heart. You have whatever I say. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you have it. When you do the believing, if you went to go and pray, I didn't get the answer. Forget the answer. And that's why I said, the first thing you do is not go and pray. Why are you rushing to pray? What are you going to tell him? But the first point of call is, what has he, because he's not going to say one thing and do another thing. You always find him in what he has said. Yeah, so find out what he has said and then use that in your prayer and see how you start getting results. Have you learned anything this morning? Praise God. Stand to your feet and let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank him. Thank him for his word that you've just received. Thank him for his word that you've just heard. Give him all the praise and give him all the glory. Give him all the praise and give him all the glory. Give him all the praise and give him all the glory. Colossians chapter 2, I think it's verse 7, says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You abound with thanksgiving. Give him praise. Just give him praise this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that we have received. We thank you for your word that we've heard. We thank you, Lord. Our victory is in your word. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We now know. We now know where our victory is. We make a decision this morning. We make a decision this morning to trust you. We make a decision this morning to commit to finding what you have said first, to spending time with what you have said, because that's where our victory is. And Father, once we have your word, we believe we receive the strength of character from you to stand there until that which you have promised is manifest in our lives. We thank you, Lord. To you be all the praise and to you be all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise God.